This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, Marks and Reese, we're back. Tracy McGrady, T-Mac, talk Sixers and Harden with us coming up here in a second. We are back. First day of training camp for the Eagles. Brian Dawkins jumps on the show at 3:30. Elliot on his practice report at 4 o'clock. All that's coming up. You know, James Harden's comments, and then he did the subsequent another podcast where he believes players should be able to at least dictate where they're traded to if they're veterans and things like that. But just the fact that James Harden continue, I mean, he reiterated it. He didn't just say the original, "I want to be traded." He's said it again. So now you worry about, and he's taken the Sixers off the bio, and he's made some cryptic comments on social media. Now you worry about, like, you know, what's his attitude when he comes
what's
in?
What's his mindset going to be?
Yeah. Because if he's not happy and he's gonna act like he's not happy, then this season doesn't have a lot of hope.
No. Then to me, it falls on Daryl Morey. You got to move him. The guy's literally in there trying to, you know, sink the ship and disrupt the locker room. Like, you don't want that in the locker room. Like, you don't want Joel to have to deal with that. You don't want that in the locker room.
All right, Tracy McGrady joins us right now. And Showtime Basketball announces Bonded by Ball, Inside the OBL, a four-part documentary series chronicling the inaugural season of the Ones Basketball League. All four episodes of the series premiere consecutively on Showtime Extreme starting at 10 p.m. Friday, July 28th. So this Friday at 10 p.m., you can see all of them. And they're also all available on demand on streaming for Paramount Plus.
Okay.
That's with Showtime subscribers on the day of the premiere. T-Mac joins us right now. Tracy, you got to tell us about this OBL. How are you?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
Doing pretty good, man. Excited to hear about this this documentary. And more importantly, this league that you are trying to grow.
Yeah, so I created this league, you know, based off of, you know, how I really got discovered, and that's me playing high school ball in Central Florida, being a junior, and being pretty good in my region. But outside of that, no one really knew who I was. It wasn't until that summer, going into my senior year, where a guy that was affiliated with Adidas came down and told me all about this platform that Sonny Vaccaro started. It was called ABCD. I get this invite to this camp with the top high school guys in the nation. I played and I did well and ended up coming out of that camp being ranked the number one player in the country all in one summer.
Wow.
Well, nothing really changed about me as a basketball player. It's just really the platform that I got on. So here we are today. I wanted to create something to give those very guys that, you know, who knows what happened along their journey of pursuing a basketball career, but giving them a platform to really showcase their unique ability in a one-on-one basketball game. And I think, to me, we all played one-on-one growing up. It's the really true essence of basketball. So I hired and partnered up with Showtime to document everything. And out of that, we came out with a four-part series that's airing this Friday, July 28th at 10 p.m. on Showtime's platform. So I'm excited about it. It's really highlighting, you know, one-on-one basketball, but also talking about, you know, some guys that participated in OBL and their unique skill set and their ability to adapt to their journey that really didn't work out for some of the guys.
Talk a little bit about how this can sort of, I guess, transition into today's game, right? We look at today's game, T-Mac, and it's so different from when you guys played with the, I guess, the sharing of the ball, the three-point shooting. You don't have as many guys in the league that are great at creating their own shots and getting their own buckets. You think this will be able to be, you know, applied to today's game and be able to fit into today's game?
I think your star players. You look at the KDs, he's a one-on-one player. He has that unique skill set. You look at Devin Booker, he has that skill set. Kyrie, he has that skill set. James Harden, he's older now, but he has that skill set. And other guys, I could go on and name a name, that have a unique one-on-one skill set. And these guys, they're not, you know, your James Harden, but they have that ability. They have the Kyrie handles and the unique creativity with the basketball in their hands. They out here, man. They just didn't get that break.
And, yeah.
You know, you're a fan of the artist Jadakiss. He said it years ago, there's a brother up north better than Jordan that ain't get that break. So it's a lot of guys out here that didn't get that break, and this OBL platform is for those guys. And then also, everybody just is not, you know, a structured 5-on-5 basketball player, right? Because it's the role that you might be getting put in. You know, you're a guy that is accustomed to having the basketball in your hands, and you train every day with your trainer to have the basketball in your hands. But when you get, you know, on a team and your coach puts you in the corner, and that really is not conducive to your skill set, how are you going to flourish, right? So This is no coaches. This is just you on the island competing and showcasing your unique skill set in one-on-one.
Tracy McGrady joins us, and you want to check out the documentary. It starts Friday, July 28th, 10 p.m. Showtime. It's available on Paramount Plus after that, so check it out. Ooh. It's fascinating. Should be a very good watch. All right, T-Mac, your thoughts on James Harden. His trade request. Do you think that he's doing the right thing as we are going through this offseason?
Me personally, I could sit here and say I don't. From a basketball standpoint, no, I don't think he's doing the right thing. But I've said this before, it has to be something deeper than what we all know, because it doesn't make basketball sense to ask for a trade when you playing alongside the MVP of the league. You have an upcoming star in Tyrese Maxey. You just got a pretty damn good coach there. I don't know, man. You were one game from making it to the Eastern Conference Finals, and I think if you would have made it there last year, I will put Philly over Miami because of Joel Embiid. And then you're playing for a championship. So that's why we play the game, is to play for championships. You are in a championship situation, and you're trying to get out of that again. I'm telling you, it's got to be something deeper, and I'm hoping it is for the reason he wants out, and we just don't know about it.
It sounds like, T-Mac, you feel at least optimistic about this team if they were to stay together when you look at Joel, Tyrese, and James Harden. Like, what do you think their chances are next year of winning a championship? Do you think Joel has the makeup of what it takes to be a championship player? And can James Harden finally be that guy who's a great co-star along Joel Embiid that could lead a team to a championship?
Well, I think when you look at it on paper, I do think so. But there's a lot that has to be talked about and ironed out before moving forward. You know, you requesting for a trade, that sends a message to your teammates that, you know, one, they're probably not good enough. And maybe they're up on why you're requesting a trade. I don't know. I'm just, you know, I'm on the outside, you know, voicing my opinion on this. So I think you know, when you look at it on paper, yes, they're a championship contending team. I think they can compete for a championship. Do I think they can win one? No, I think they're a better team, but I think they have the talent to compete for one.
And you know what? I think he's mad at Daryl Morey, T-Mac, for him not giving him the contract he was probably expecting. Remember, he took less money to come back, and I don't know what if there was a wink-wink deal or whatever, but you know the Sixers didn't offer him offer him anything. They said, hey, go out in free agency and set your market. He had to take the player option. And this goes with James Harden and what we know about him, but also just NBA players in general. How problematic can it be to have a player like James Harden unhappy in a locker room and unhappy with the team going into a season?
That's what I mean. Like, that has to be ironed out, because you could be a championship team on paper and how we view you, but there's some internal problems like you got to iron out before you even get to the season. That locker room is going to be in shambles knowing that this man requested a trade and he's not going to be traded. Like, I don't know how you get past that. You know what I mean? Start the season off with that, because it will be looming. That is the first thing that people are going to be talking about when they go to training camp. So,
would you trade him? Would you honor the request and get as much as you could on the open market, or would you say no, come back if you were running the Sixers?
That's tough, man. Because I like him as a player. I think he compliments Joel very, very, very well. And the pick and roll, I think, you know, those two running pick and roll is just really unstoppable. I got to run it back. There's no way I'm trading him. He's too good of a playmaker. He's too good of a complimentary player to Joel Embiid. He's a big reason why Joel Embiid won that MVP. Joel Embiid is great. But if you look at how easy James Harden made the game for him and running that pick and roll and getting him easy baskets, shooting that elbow jumper, I mean, that was, you know, a really problem for teams. But I think you got to add another scoring guard that can relieve that pressure of James having to score and carry the load when the game is on the line, because I just don't think that ability of him doing what he did in Houston is there anymore because he's older.
So they need another scorer, a small forward or another guard that can score.
Absolutely. They need someone that they could give the ball to at, you know, if the game is on the line, or someone that could take over the game, not named Joel Embiid. I don't think you do that with James Harden. I think he just has to be your playmaker. But as far as getting buckets or being a closer, I don't think that ability is in him because of his age and the miles on his body.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Good stuff again. Tracy McGrady, bonded by ball inside the OBL, the Ones Basketball League, the four-part documentary series debuts this Friday, July 28th, 10 p.m. Showtime. If you have Paramount Plus, you can also check it out as well. One last thing, T-Mac, before, and we appreciate the few minutes. It's talked about a lot, or especially before, but I wanted you to confirm it. Stephen A. Smith said back in 1999, the Sixers and the Raptors had a trade in place. Larry Hughes goes to Toronto. We get you and a first-round draft pick. Is that true, and how close were you to being a 76er?
I don't know how close it was. I heard it back then, but I honestly can't answer how close it was. But did I know about it? Yes, I knew about it. I don't know how close, though.
Damn, Larry Hughes. We could have had T-Mac, yes. Larry Hughes. Come on, man. God, doggy.
Shit, y'all talking that way. We could have had Tim Duncan when I was in Orlando.
How would you and AI have meshed as teammates?
Oh, that's my brother. I just talked to AI 2 weeks ago. That's my guy, man. We would have been good.
I'd like to see AI in his prime in the OBL one-on-one.
Yeah, how about that?
man, that would have been must-see TV.
Who that you played with would have been the best competition for you one-on-one?
The guy that's from the city that you guys are in right now? Come on now, you know.
AI.
The Black Mamba. The Black Mamba.
Oh, Kobe. No, sorry.
Come on, man. You know Bean Bryant? Kobe Bean Bryant? Shit.
That's two times.
T-Mac, great talking to you, man. Good luck with your documentary and your league, and we look forward to talking to you again.
All right, man.
All right, boy. Thank you.
There he is, T-Mac.
He hit us with it twice.
Yeah, he got excited thinking about the old days, for sure. That means we did our job. We had him at ease to where he felt like he was on the couch.
Or at a bar.
One of the two. Well, you know what? Very complimentary on James Harden's game where it is right now, but also asking why, what are you doing?
What's your game plan here?
He's mad at Daryl Morey.
Yes. Yep. Mad about the money. Yep. That's really what it is.
This is an ego blow. He didn't have the market that he thought he would. Teams weren't lined up to trade for
him. Probably felt like he got lied to.
And he got lied to.
Yeah, I mean, that's really where it starts. He probably feels, I never did want to go anywhere else, and now you're not offering me the extension the extension that I thought I was going to get, so now I don't want to be here at all.
So I had said this afterwards. I mean, I guess it depends on what you think of the player, but like they would have been to make if you would have offered him a 2-year contract at what are we talking about, $70 million or something like that. Like if you really think he's an important part of the team, then give him something to where he doesn't feel like going out and telling him, go set your market and then come back to us, or take the player option, keeping him in the dark in free agency, it's stupid.
Well, and that's where the bad blood came.
Right, I'd be mad too.
Yep, that's where, but we're all happy that Daryl Morey did it the way that he did it.
But you know,
now, it created another problem though.
But see, that's my thing is that like, when you hear T-Mac talk, that's obviously what Morey thinks, is that he's still a really good player, and he's not just going to trade him. But he's created all this other crap.
Right.
He's mad.
Yep.
So if you would have just worked with him a little bit more and not made him feel like, well, no, I had to exercise my option to come back, now he's mad.
Yep.
That's just
he can't even get an extension. He can't do anything with the deal.
He can't. No.
Yeah, he can't do anything. Like, he has to wait till next year now.
And far be it for me to defend James Harden, but Daryl Morey's handled this poorly. I'm sorry.
I'm actually surprised at it. Because I thought him and Harden were close. So I wonder if it came from somewhere else that Daryl Morey had to do somewhat of a change of plans.
Ooh.
This is going to be awesome.
To your point.
You think Josh Harris has got involved?
Daryl Morey's got a boss.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And if there's a weasel that's in the inner circle of Josh Harris that's saying, like, this is not a good idea to sign
him
long-term.
And they may not have liked the way James Harden finished the season, some of the stuff that it may have been going on behind closed doors that we don't even know about.
Yeah. Yep.
You know that. Like, you know that stuff is going on that we don't even know about.
Yep.
Yeah, we didn't even find out the trips to Vegas until
Doc got fired.
Right. Or no, then somebody.
Oh, no, that was.
No, the video. Somebody had a video of him.
Right. And otherwise, we wouldn't have even seen it.
Yeah, yeah.
TMZ had it, yes.
Ah, damn TMZ.
No, yeah, but like, we didn't hear about Doc calling him out in team meetings for partying on the road until after Doc got fired.
Well, no, Doc told us, like, he said, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. I told him to say bleep it.
Yeah, Rodman did it.
Yeah, Doc. He thought that was gonna save his job.
Yeah.
And he still stuck a knife in your back, Doc.
Oh, bleep it mentality.
Yep. And now I got Doc replacing Mark Jackson.
I know. Is it Mark Jackson off that or
I think so.
So Van Gundy and him and
DB.
Doris
Van Gundy's gone, I think.
No, Van Gundy is gone. I didn't know Mark Jackson.
Oh yeah, I think so. I think Mark Jackson.
So it's gonna be it's gonna be those two.
Doris Burke
and Doc Rivers.
Yep.
There you go.
There you go.
Doc will probably be pretty good.
Well, he's great because.
Oh, yeah. No, Doc, remember, he used to be, before he got the raspy
voice. Doc will say stuff.
He used to be pretty good.
But especially the Sixers are going to have a lot of national games next year.
Oh,
that's a great point.
It's a great. Oh, James Harden lollygagging up the court again.
No, he's going to be. Does he take shots at the city?
I can see that. You know, it's a tough place to play.
Oh, passive aggressive shots at the city that only will hear.
Only in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Or does he embrace
definitely
Philly?
Definitely rolling out only in Philadelphia at some point.
Well,
no doubt in my mind.
That would be good for business.
Oh, man.
Remember Doug Collins? We loved Doug Collins because he was so good on TV.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And then you dealt with him every day, and it's like, man, this guy's a jerk.
Yes. Well, they're always the guys who know it all.
Right. Oh, God.
Yeah, I still never forget when Doc said to Keith Pompey, that's a dumb bleep question. Remember that?
Yes.
I was like, what?
Yeah, no, he was mad. Like, that was obviously building up with Pompey. He needed to set him straight. Like, you are not going to continue to question me like Howard Eskin. I don't know if that was happening, but poor Keith got set straight by Doc.
Like, man.
He did that a couple times with the Pop. Would you ask Pop that question?
Right.
And when you go back and listen to the question, I can see why you got some 25-year-old blogger that's asking me.
Yeah, Dave Uram asking me questions.
Well, yeah, man, don't mess with Dave. All right, so by the way, B-Dawg, Brian Dawkins joins us at 3:30. All right, can't wait to talk
to
him.
So many Hall of Famers.
Let's say Elliot at some point's probably going to make a Hall of Fame.
Somewhere.
The next Ray Dittinger.
High school or daycare, perhaps, the daycare Hall of Fame.
Ike made his high school's Wikipedia page.
We're moving in the right direction.
Did you?
Getting closer.
They deleted me out of my high school Wikipedia page. It's true. A listener,
is that because they thought the guy that wrote Red-Nosed Reindeer or whatever was John Marks?
A listener and somebody that went to Upper Moreland was mad that I wasn't listed on the Wikipedia page as being a notable graduate.
Right.
So he went in and edited it himself, but whoever edits the page, like has the credentials to edit the page, wiped that right out of there.
What?
Yeah, it's true.
The ex-girlfriend?
No, it's just somebody that, no, obviously he's like, screw him. He doesn't deserve to be
on
the page.
Somebody's a hater. That's what I'm saying.
Someone's a hater. Correct.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, and I was like, dude, whatever. I don't care. He's like, no, this is bogus. And he was telling me the other names that were on it. I'm like, all right, whatever. Like, we don't have to fight Wikipedia Upper Moreland High School page because I'm not listed on it. All right, we're good.
I didn't even know we had a high school Wikipedia page.
I wouldn't have known it either until this. I'm not Googling my Wikipedia page.
I'm not on Wikipedia pages yet.
Yeah, so notable alumni, Paul Bateman, who's a mathematician. Like, come on, give me a break. Scott Hilton was an NFL player. Absolutely. I'd never heard of him, but absolutely. He made the NFL, right? So Joe Biden.
There you go. Yeah, Joe Biden.
All right.
Now, if TK gets on there and you're not on there, that's where we draw the line.
That's not good. TK, he worked with me one day when you were gone, and he loses his card, his Hapro card, because he didn't know basic Hapro trivia.
Ah!
He's from Hapro, but they allow Hapro people to go to Upper Moreland, like T-Mac. He really should have, or Tom Kelly, not T-Mac. Let's get Corey in here. Corey, I got about 90 seconds. Go ahead. How are you?
Hey, Mark. I agree. What up?
What up?
What's up, C?
Hey, man. We as a fan base, I can't have nobody out here shaking in their boots, man. We got Michael Jordan at the helm. We are going to be all right. We going back to the Super Bowl. I know you said I got 90 seconds, so I'm going to get it out quick. Before I forget, I told y'all in the middle of the summer, when Elliot come on, he going to remind y'all, Trey Sermon making the roster, check it down, put it in your books. I'm telling y'all, put it on Bet Parks, whatever, you know, FanDuel, whatever y'all
want. You shouldn't be using 90 seconds for the fifth running back on the team, Corey.
Nah, it's not going to be the fifth running back.
No, it's not.
I'm not worried. See, y'all having a show because y'all worried.
I'm not worried either. I'm not, you know what I am? I'm realistic, Corey. That's what I am.
Realistic?
Yes.
Realistic is we got the best team in football. And we got a top two quarterback.
Talk to him.
I mean, that's
realistic.
That's
history. It's history. That's realistic.
That's fact. Hey, you talking about like going back to the Super Bowl? I mean, history don't happen until you make it, right? Nobody's going back to back Super Bowls until it happens. So we gonna make history. So if that's what we want to count, that's
but
what
you
happen.
But you just you gave me an opinion and said fact afterwards. I actually gave you the fact.
Opinion?
You gave me an opinion.
Opinion.
Well, what did you say?
ESPN told you we got the best long-term football. Remember they did the little thing, rankings?
Yep.
I don't remember, no.
I do.
All right. All right, but that's a fact. That's not an opinion.
All right. And I think he's top two, but we know he's top six at least. That's a fact. That's what they ranked him, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got a top six quarterback in the number one roster. Why should I be scared?
You shouldn't be scared.
That's what I'm saying. We going back. I don't want to hear nothing about I can't even think what I'm trying to say.
All right, man, that's all right. Thank you.
Sorry, C.
Thank you very much.
Doesn't involve a Buckeye. You usually are lost a little bit there.
Jack and I are now Jets fans, apparently.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
I used to be the Jets fan.
Yeah, we take over for you.
Your 20th AFC team was the Jets. Because Joe Douglas. That's where I draw the line. Like, I understand Cincinnati. I understand the Bills. I understand the Ravens. I understand the Chiefs. You can't claim the Jets because of Joe Douglas. I'm sorry.
He helped us win the Super Bowl.
You didn't play. You didn't play under him.
No, but he helped us win the Super Bowl.
Oh,
Did he?
Yeah, he did. Wasn't he the GM?
I claim the Jets because I'm friends with Glenn Foley. And he was the starting quarterback for the Jets at one point.
There you go.
And I used to work.
There you go.
So my Jets. Let's go. 215-592-9494.
Dolphins fan, too. Dolphins fans.
Right, because of Marino.
Marino.
Yeah, because of Dan Marino. Yeah.
Yep, we know. Ryan Dawkins, is he a Dolphin fan? He's an Eagle
Probably
fan.
Probably grew up a Dolphins, Dolphins fan.
Must have.
Jacksonville, Florida.
Yeah, there was no Jags.
He didn't grow up a
then.
Jags fan.
That's for sure. Well, start a training camp. Let's get Dawk on. Would he be shocked if the Eagles didn't make the Super Bowl this year? And I'm not sure. But how does a team not take a step back after getting to the Super Bowl? That's the question. We'll cover it all with Dawk. That's coming up right after this. It's Marks and Reese, 94 WIP.
You know what I love best about Philly sports? The tradition, the loyalty, and the We Are Philly mentality. Now, those are the same traits that you'll find with my friends at Dietz & Watson. The Dietz & Watson family has been making great-tasting meats and cheeses for over 80 years. And they've supported Philly sports through good times and bad, and they give back to the community. They also understand what it means to be Philly proud. Man, they also understand what it means to be the best. Be like me and put Dietz & Watson meats, cheeses, and snacks at the top of your deli list.